it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Player Profiler and our podcast network is super resource intensive, and we rely on premium subscriptions to the website playerprofiler.com to keep the engine running. Go there, sign up for our player rankings, Dynasty Deluxe, DFS package, or go all in. Those that subscribe are everything to us.
It's First Class Fantasy time, Theo. We're back. Back in the house tonight. Got my boy Theo with me. I'm your host, co-host Billy Musio, and Theo with me as always. We are doing a live FFPC $125 best ball draft. And draft just kicked off, Theo. We'll get it pulled up in a second. We're drafting from the 7-hole. It's already flying by. Like with a kick, we've literally haven't even been in a minute, and we're already on pick 7. So right now, one went Ja'Marr Chase, which is not normal. Christian McCaffrey went 2. Kelsey went 3. Justin Jefferson just fell to the 4-hole in this draft, which is...
Why couldn't we have gotten the 4 this draft, Billy?
Crazy. Tyreek Hill, Austin Eckler. We're on the clock. Let's get a pick in, and then we'll go ahead and start talking shop and just doing a better intro here. So Cooper Kupp, JT, Barkley, Diggs, Lamb, AJ Brown, all in play here for me. Which way you want to lean?
I don't mind a CD Lamb play here. I think he's very safe, and he also has a lot of upside. I think that offense is pointing up. No Schultz there. I think it's, and no Zeke Elliott. I think it could be another massive season for Lamb. What's your lean?
You did not have to twist my arm. I'm already getting flack for how high I have him in the rankings, but you know me. I toot to my own horn. I do my own thing. I win trophies, Theo, and I have CeeDee Lamb pretty high up in the rankings, especially in the Player Profiler FFPC rankings over at the site. You can load those things up, go to the player rankings tab at the top, click the FFPC tab, and they're dedicated to the format that we're drafting in right now. And guess where CeeDee Lamb is in those rankings?
I'm going to guess he's quite high.
He's actually number 8. I've been making a case to move him ahead of Cooper Kupp, but I think the masses would flip out there. But
well, I think that's an interesting one because, you know, you're a little bit of an ageist, Billy. And Cooper Kupp is getting up there, and CeeDee Lamb is absolutely in his prime. And the way CeeDee Lamb ended last season over the second half of the year, he was like a rocket ship. The guy was like wide receiver 2 over the last like 8 games of the season. And that, again, that Cowboys offense, I don't think like no Dalton Schultz in the red zone. The most familiar red zone weapon for Dak Prescott right now will be CeeDee Lamb. I think that's like a little bit of an untapped part of his game. I think he could get force fed a little bit more around the goal line, and there's no threat of Zeke Elliott with, like, you know, the owner in the ear saying, let's get Zeke a touchdown here. So I'm all about CeeDee Lamb. And I think that's fine process to have him, you know, over Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp it's kind of a hard pill to swallow because you've seen the guy average 22 and 25 points a game, like unbelievable production, but I don't have a whole lot of faith in that Rams offense right now.
Yeah, the Rams offense is tough, right? Because we know it's going to be funneled still through Cooper Kupp. It's going to be Cooper Kupp, and we expect it to be Akers, right? And they're just going to probably funnel it between these two. There's a lot of moving pieces in this offense. We expect this team to be, I expect it to be pretty bad in the league, and which means that they may be throwing the ball a little bit more. And so there's always that flip side of the coin that I worry about, and we all know what Cooper Kupp is capable of. That's why I don't want to move him too far down the rankings, because he's just coming off. I mean, prior to him getting injured, he was still the wide receiver 1. So there's a lot still to like about Cooper Kupp, and I'm not saying that he's, you know, in the words of Theo, dusted by any means, but he's still, there's some concerns is where I'm going with this conversation with Cooper Kupp and the Rams offense. And I think that Lamb is in just a much better place to succeed in 2023. We are on deck here. So let's,
I have it open. Should we put this on the share screen, Billy?
No, let's make them just totally guess all night. I don't want them to see anything we're doing. That makes way too much sense, Theo, to give them the board. No, I'm kidding.
We'll do it between picks. I don't think we need to worry about table talk here. Because I don't think there was enough. I don't know if anybody's listening in live. That's in our current draft, but right now we're one pick away. I kind of like Jalen Waddle right here. I would also go Amon-Ra St. Brown, Breece Hall just goes. So right now, Ken Walker would be the running back of choice. But those two wide receivers, Jalen Waddle and Amon-Ra St. Brown, kind of stand out to me a little bit here. Is there something you want to throw out, Billy? Should we consider a tight end?
I like Amon-Ra. I'm starting to own a lot of them, but I don't really care right now. I lean Amon-Ra here. I could go Andrews or Hockenson, but I really like Amon-Ra St. Brown, and I've been kind of taking him almost insta-lock in this round just because I like his upside, like the offense, like what they were able to do last year. I think he's going to see, you know, a similar role, if not more than what we saw last year. So I would go Amon.
I think I agree with you. I think we should go Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I think in a tournament setting like this, you can go ahead and lock it in.
Okay. Let's do it. I'm going to figure out the board here.
Sure. So when we get to a tournament type setting, I get the structural advantage of having one of these top tight ends and being able to like basically go kind of skinny at the tight end position and not have to put a number of draft picks into it. But I think when you have to throw position out the window in a tournament setting where we want these guys who can just go nuts for a 30-point game in that championship week. And I think Amon-Ra St. Brown is that. And I think that I feel better about him doing that than I would TJ Hockenson or Mark Andrews, even with the tight end premium scoring. I think that we lean a little too much into structure. And I do think that there's I'll give it a 10% chance one of them comes back to us. It's very rare. I think it would be more likely that it would last to like the 304, but wild things happen, Billy. I mean, it seems like this board is a little bit interesting in kind of their builds. You see, you know, Pollard and Jacobs right there. I'm not sure how this is going to go. And, you know, we're creeping around. We have five picks to go where one of these guys might fall to us. So we might get one of the tight ends really late.
Yeah, I've seen Hockenson fall pretty consistently in the round three. And even though I have him higher in my rankings, right, we look at ADP and we have to, you know, consider where they're going inside average draft position. And we're not going to take him in early round two. And we know we have a chance to get him in round three. Like this is how we're building, you know, monster teams with a chance to win up top this 25,000. And if we can grab Amon-Ra St. Brown and TJ Hockenson, that's the best of both worlds, right?
100%. I do think when the money drafts come around, like, and we get away from best ball and we get into like main events, mm-hmm. I think both those guys are gone by like the, let's call it the 303. I think it's going to adjust where those guys are going to be very popular around that 2-3 turn, just based on their profiles. You can kind of, you know, squint and see them going up to tight end one overall, even though we're both on, and there goes Hockenson, even though we're both on, you know, Kelsey. So there goes Mandrews and Hockenson. We missed that. So we're still good. We still got a lot of guys we like right here, Billy.
Yeah. It's a very ambitious. I mean, it's not, it doesn't happen frequently for them both to land back in the middle of the third round. That's usually when they fall. Right. And so, but this is where you try to land them when you can like that. So let's take a look. We're on the clock now. I have way too many windows open, Theo.
We could go with a running back here. I think there's some very attractive wide receivers.
Yeah, T. Higgins, Chris Olave.
T. Higgins, Chris Olave are both my lean here. We're already started wide receiver, wide receiver. We could go wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. Olave, I think, presents a great deal of upside. Yeah, T. Higgins, a little bit more of a known commodity. I don't mind having an Olave exposure right here.
I like Olave. We're on the same page, so I'm going to lock him in.
Okay, good. And then we might as well talk about it. Like, where are you at with Austin Eckler right now? He seems very almost hurt by the contract situation in Los Angeles. I think they're going to work things out. But what is your initial take? Could Austin Eckler be on the move, or do you think that everything's going to get worked out? He's going to be a Charger.
I think eventually it'll get worked out. He's going to be a Charger. I don't think he's going to get the money that he's, you know, wanting. And I think he's bummed out about it because he has been, you know, one of the best running backs in the league. But you know, unfortunately, he just picked a really bad year to go through these contract demands, because we had a pretty heavy running back free agency. And this running back class on top of it is just really good. And so you take a look at all that, and it just lowers the value of the running back position from a contract standpoint in 2023. And it was bad timing on his part. And I know he was coming off two monster seasons, but unfortunately just the pool of availability is just, it's classic supply and demand. And so, you know, the supply is high and we're going to be driving the price down. And so I think it's an unfortunate situation for him. I think he deserves to be paid, but you know, he's nearing the age apex, and no one's going to want to put a big contract on the line and pay him the money that he wants. And so I think he's going to have to come to kind of realization, and maybe there's a team that will, but I doubt he's going to be on the move. I think he stays a Charger, and he's going to be playing that Tony Pollard role inside this Kellen Moore offense, inside this San Diego, or not San Diego, now LA Charger offense.
Yeah. I mean, he's so important to that offense and everything that they did last year. And also we've seen Herbert, you know, so reliant on checking down to him. I think that he'll end up getting a raise, not quite the money that he wants, but enough that both sides are happy and he'll work things out. Do we think that the T. Higgins being traded ship has sailed?
I don't think he's traded. There's this offense is too potent with him and Ja'Marr Chase together. Right? Why would you want to separate the band when it's working? You hear the rumor of teams reaching out. I think it's maybe they were kicking the tire to see what they could get for him. If they were going to be able to take in this huge haul, they probably would have. But I'd expect that maybe those conversations didn't lead to anything what they wanted for him or were willing to move him for. And he's going to be back here in Cincinnati. I didn't think he was going to be moved. There's a couple players I still think have the ability to be traded, but T. Higgins and Eckler are not one of them.
Yeah, I think it's not going to happen. The one guy that has gotten picked in this draft that I do think will get moved is DeAndre Hopkins. Do you have any leans on where you think he will end up? I think we could be disappointed by the landing spot. I think that his profile is good enough that he's somewhat landing spot proof, even though he's a little bit older. But I don't know. It's interesting. I've heard Atlanta being thrown around, which would be really gross. But I think besides Atlanta, I think I could live with a number of them. Where would be a spot, you know, obviously besides Kansas City, is there another spot you think would be great for DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah, Buffalo would be great, right? You've heard that name be thrown around. I mean, those are, of course, the most ideal landing spots. You're even hearing rumors now they may just cut him. And I mean, that would be crazy, but I think no matter where he lands, he's still going to produce, you know, wide receiver two numbers with the ability to be a wide receiver one on any given week. We're on the clock. Let's pick real quick.
Okay. So we're OTC here. I don't mind Dallas Goedert here.
Goedert is one of the two in the queue. The other one is my boy Debo.
So I would go Debo if you twisted my arm, but I think that Dallas Goedert gives us a little bit of what we wanted from Hawkinson and Mandrews.
Yep, flexibility around later. Well.
Yeah, and we don't need to press tight end if we take Goedert. So I think we'll like the wide receivers that are there for us in the fifth round.
Okay, but I'm fine with that.
Let's go Goedert.
Goddard's one of my two in the queue, so we're on the same page. And I'm glad Kyle Pitts went ahead because I wouldn't have selected Kyle Pitts. Just throwing that out there.
Okay, I was not going to twist your arm tonight on that one.
We have a question that I want to talk about right here, and this is from Josh. I think it's Pesky. Sorry if I mispronounced your name. Can you explain the advantage of drafting early quarterbacks versus the cost and where you land? This is a great question, and this is one of those age-old debates, right, of taking a quarterback early in drafts or waiting on them. And I think the price increase this year that we're seeing is in part due to the extreme difference at the position. Last year, more so than ever, we saw just the large gap between the top tier quarterbacks and that tier two or even tier three or tier four in some scenarios. And that large gap and honestly, the uncertainty at the quarterback position earlier in the year caused this panic at the position where people were wanting to lock in what I call the God tier of quarterbacks, the Josh Allens, the Jalen Hurts, the Patrick Mahomes, the Joe Burrows, right? You could even throw in Fields and Lamar in that situation maybe, but I think it was a lot of uncertainty at the position. This seeing Josh Allen go here at the 2-4 was common earlier in drafts. It's not as common now. We're seeing Burrow, we're seeing Hurts, we're seeing Mahomes fall into the third round a lot more frequently than we did a month ago or 3 weeks ago even. And this player, particular player, NT, did it for a stack with Diggs. So most commonly I'm seeing now these quarterbacks start to fall half a round versus where they were a month ago. And I think that's because we've had some more certainty at the position, right? We saw Derek Carr land. We know now he's on the Saints, right? We saw Jimmy Garoppolo go to the Raiders. Like there, when you're building teams now, you can fall back to a later quarterback if you wanted to take a later quarterback or build a late quarterback build. Now you at least know where these players are going and you have that opportunity. So the price has started to kind of be eased and come down a little bit, but still not to the level that we're used to in drafts. To fully answer your question, that's part of the reason why they're expensive. Also, the disparity between the position last year, and I think people are just wanting to secure that spot. I personally think it's necessary to mix it in. You cannot go an entire year of drafting and not have some sort of ownership at those with those players. Like you have to own some Hurts. You have to own Patrick Mahomes. Hold that thought, Pio. We're on the clock.
We're OTC here. So we just saw another quarterback go in Trevor Lawrence. I'm sort of open here, Billy. Who do we have in the queue right now?
I didn't add him in the queue because I was talking. But we have Lamar Jackson's in play here for me. We could even double tight end and be done with it and take Darren Waller.
So I like your lean on that one. I say we take Darren Waller and we completely do not take one more tight end the rest of the entire draft.
Let's do it.
Done. So I think that that's also, so getting back to the question with these quarterbacks, also when you get to a best ball, like a format like this, when we're talking best ball, is the ability to take an early QB and then just completely, punt the position is a really nice strategy because I can have a two QB build. Whereas Billy and I, we're setting up for a potential sicko build. We may triple tap the QB position, which is fine. There's different ways of kind of skinning a cat in best ball. But like Team 9, who took Josh Allen there, it'll be interesting to see where he takes QB2. Like I personally think what Team 1 did, with all due respect to Team 1 and to Team 6, that's kind of poor strategy here to double tap the QB position so early. Like if I take Jalen Hurts at the 2-3 turn, then I lose a considerable edge when I take Justin Herbert in the fourth round. And I could see what he was kind of trying to do with having two skinny stacks where he has a Hurts Devonta Smith stack and he has a Herbert Williams stack. But I don't know. Billy, what do you think of using two of your top five selections at the QB spot?
It's interesting. So two of the top five I'm not liking as much, but Todd Burrows, who I do a lot of best ball drafts with, he did this study on the leagues that he had and I had. And oddly enough, like the win rate that we had with two early quarterbacks last year, and this might be a fluke to last year. That's why this strategy and this comment is not fully researched yet, but I just want to throw it out there as kind of like food for thought, because it was only researched for last year. I would have to go back and look at 2021, 2020, and then start to do a little bit more analysis. But last year we had a pretty high successful pass-through rate on two early quarterbacks in the top, I think, five rounds, I think is what he said of that. And although it looks ugly, and from a typical draft standpoint, it's not something that we usually like to do. That being said, last year might've been an anomaly because of the quarterback issues that we saw, right? We had so much injuries at the position. There was a lot of, shuffling and players losing jobs. And I think that was part of it. I'd have to go through and finish the research, but I just food for thought there and just want to throw that out there. But it's interesting to see. I've done it this year just to test the waters out, and I've done it with like two rushing quarterbacks because, the possibility of an injury there. Like I'll do it with like Fields and Lamar, right? Double tap it if it falls. It's not something I'm doing all the time, but I want to mix in some exposure to the two early quarterbacks. But it's a difference of someone's volume drafting versus somebody who's only doing 5 or 10 of these.
No, that's a fair point. And I think that we do get a little bit caught up into what happened last year in best ball builds. I think that you see it a lot in the underdog tournament where, you know, in underdog, people will, you know, react to the whatever strategy won the year before. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be this year. So I think that it's interesting to talk about like what were the pass through rates of this build? What were the pass through rates of this build? And kind of going from there. Well, it'll be interesting to see what caches, especially in this early FFPC tournament, Billy. But I don't mind our start right now. I think we've got a lot of firepower and we have two tight ends who could put up really, really big weeks in Goddard and Waller.
Yeah, and the beauty about tight end premium is we can flex one of these tight ends too, right? So it's not like we're locked into just one. With FFPC scoring tight end premium, it allows us the opportunity for one of these guys to be one of our flex starts every week too. I see we have two players in the queue. We have
DeAndre Swift. I added a third. That I added Jameson Williams in the queue because we have Amon-Ra St. Brown, and it gives us a chance at a nice Detroit stack. Because Jared Goff, I think, will be in a wheelhouse where we won't really have to push it. And we'd have exposure to an offense that I think is going to put up a ton of points. For that same reason, I have DeAndre Swift in there. And then I have Damian Pierce. So
Team Mac Nova said, fuck your stack, Theo.
a big hat tip to Team Mac Nova. So right now I have the two running backs, and then I see you added Christian Kirk, which I don't mind either.
I lean Pierce here. I think having Singletary land in Houston was like best case scenario for him. And I think that he's going to be heavily involved. I know it's going to be a bad offense this year, but he was running hard. He was doing great. He had a shit ton of carries. I really like Swift this year. He's like my RB17 or something like that.
I'm okay with it. I feel like we somewhat lose a little bit of our edge when we go Pierce here, but I think structurally he makes
you want to lean into receiver and keep going with Kirk.
Does Kirk give us that edge? I think that, you know what, your initial lean for structural lean was the correct one, Billy.
Okay.
And let's go with Damian Pierce.
All right.
But I think that's an interesting kind of argument. And that's a little bit more of a kind of a redraft, you know, true zero RB type build where you'll see teams really with an outstanding start, and then they panic and draft a running back. I do think that that's not as big of an issue in best ball because the structure in best ball absolutely matters. But I'm sure we're going to be putting together some really fun drafts over the summer, Billy, when we're doing some higher stakes format drafts right here on First Class Fantasy, where we certainly will not be taking our foot off the gas pedal to do anything sort of structurally when we get to those months.
That's right. What do you think of Redneck's build? I call this the Christmas build, right? Just solid green and red. And I see this pretty frequently in best ball. I'm not crazy about it. I understand the thought process. He's probably going to go like 9 or 10 receivers. What do you think of the breakdown?
Well, I don't mind the player selections. I think that he had some pretty good values on his players. And Rednecks is an experienced FFPC drafter. I'm actually in a dynasty league with him.
Oh, yeah, a lot.
I see him in a lot of leagues. So I think this is somewhat by design. I think he went in here knowing that this is going to be his strategy. I think as soon as he took Derrick Henry in the second round, I think that the decision was made. I'm not sure about the need for the Miles Sanders. Like Miles Sanders and Dobbins seem like they're somewhat similar bets, like range wise. I'm not sure I would have probably pivoted off of Dobbins and gone with a wide receiver. But I can kind of understand where he's going with this sort of build. It'll be interesting to see when we get down to like round 12, 13, how he's recovered at both the tight end position and the wide receiver position. But you certainly have to like what he's done at QB and running back.
That's right. Well, let's go ahead and take a look. The Podfather has a quick word for you. Thanking you for your all-in subscriptions and making everything that we're doing over here at Player Profiler possible.
Hey, I want to take a moment to thank you for tuning in. It's important to me that all of our media be free, and one of our key missions is to make as much statistics and information and deep analysis available on PlayerProfiler.com for free. This is only possible because of you, allowing a true independent sports media enterprise to thrive unlike any other in the business. So please subscribe to the All In package to continue to make all this possible. If you can't do All In, that's okay. We have a draft kit. We could just subscribe to the player rankings. Those now include tight end premium FFPC ranks, our brand new data analysis package. We'll blow your hair back. And of course, there's our Dynasty Deluxe and our DFS Dominator. Take a moment, check out our premium services to ensure that all of our stats, information, data, content is available to you, especially you, the people that get the site and get the show.
That's our best ball team taking off here, Theo.
It's the rare on the clock sound effect coming off of an advertisement. That is called professionalism. Billy and I are not freaking out. We're 38 seconds ago. My lean right here,
Rashad White,
would be Rashad White.
Yes.
It's a layup to get Rashad White here in the middle of the seventh round based on his current situation and the upside he presents to us. I might like the Rashad White pick more than the Damian Pierce pick. And we get him around later.
I love when he falls around eight even more, but I'll take him in around seven all day as well.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily, I think that what we did with the first three rounds allows us to kind of get away from wide receiver and not really panic. Cause I do think that my favorite builds in this sort of a slim best ball are the excellent wide receiver builds. Cause I think those are just so dangerous when we get to the money weeks. But Rashad White, I mean, Chase Edmonds is the only running back they brought in this offseason. Leonard Fournette is gone from Tampa Bay. The wide receivers are getting older. Rashad White is kind of shaping into a really fun player. We moved him up in the dynasty rankings. We talked about him this week, Matt, Allen, and I on the Sonic Truth Pod, about him as a dynasty asset. Everything's kind of aligning for him as a dynasty asset, and I think the redraft market will kind of catch up to it. I think he'll easily rise throughout the summer as long as he survives those first 2 days of the draft.
Yeah, I think he survives the first 2 days. There's a lot of opportunity in this team just across the board, especially with the absence of the quarterback position. Right now, I have him as the running back 27 in rankings, and I think that it's fluid. It's going to continue to change as the draft approaches. I have him just under 200 rushing attempts, right? Five touchdowns, right? 800 rushing yards on the projection side, and I have him involved in 8% of the target share. So these are pretty modest, and I think that he has every opportunity to outperform that. And this could be like a, David Johnson-esque kind of season where he's one of the most utilized three down backs in the league with what is available for him. So I love Rashad White. I love what his skill set is. Liked him coming out of college. Love the fluidity to his game. I'm excited to see what he's able to produce. I've been high on him for a while now. He's one of my guys. If you go over to FFPC, we have the My Guys little thing on the side in the rankings. I got Rashad White.
I am getting a little flack and kickback on the My Guys, Billy, because My Guys are extremely like blue blood. I think there was like an hour where I had two guys that were really, really highly ranked, and I adjusted them. I want to be a company guy on that one. So yeah, it's fun. Go through the My Guys. They're on the site. It's really awesome. A shout out to our editor, Seth Diewald, who's really put a lot into like our bios and the My Guys and all that sort of thing. It looks fantastic, and it's great to see the really sharp minds that we're working with, the guys that they're trying to flag planting this early in the year. There goes Treylon. I would have liked to have a Treylon Burks in the eighth round here.
Yeah, Treylon would have been nice. Marquise Brown's interesting with Hopkins leaving town. It opens up 22% target share. The other one is we could start to take a look at quarterback Goff with the stack with Amon-Ra St. Brown is there.
I think Goff will be there for us next round.
Yeah, there's three teams without a quarterback. How many quarterbacks? Kirk Cousins, Daniel Jones, Justin Jefferson. He'll stack with Cousins probably. Daniel Jones, he doesn't have anyone, Daniel Jones. But if we miss out on Goff, we could take Daniel Jones because we could stack him.
Yeah.
We could stack him there. Okay, 19 seconds left. I like either Marquise Brown here or, am I going to say it, Tyler Algier?
Well, Tyler Algier is a risk. I like Hollywood Brown. Let's take Hollywood Brown, Billy.
Okay, I like the upside of Hollywood, like, right?
Yeah.
Just like get down the field. And I know we have a quarterback concern, but they still got to throw the ball to somebody.
Yeah, and I think that there's a chance that Hollywood Brown could be like people avoiding Cardinals in the draft because it is absolutely so ugly. Billy, here's a good question for you. who starts day one at quarterback for Arizona right now?
I don't want to answer that question right now.
McSorley is not signed.
No.
McCoy is injured. David Blau is still on the roster. Like, it's going to be somebody who's not even on the roster starting day one. This is they have the lowest win total in all of Las Vegas right now. They're at like 5.5 wins. I think that's the lowest team total on the board. Like, Hollywood Brown could be one of these guys that's like a bad offense, 30% target share, like disgusting. Like, oh, look, exactly. Hollywood Brown got another 13 targets this week. Oh, Hollywood Brown got 12 targets this week. Like, it could be that, because he's going to be in fantastic game flow situations. You could potentially have a bad quarterback with tunnel vision. It's kind of like people don't want to take him, but I think he's a good value when he's here in the eighth round.
Yeah, I think it's a great value this late. And I mean, look at what he did. He had a pretty good stretch last year. I mean, I think at one point he was like wide receiver five.
Yeah,
and he was popping off. You know, he had 11 target games in the first four contests, week two and week four last year. He was running wide receiver number three in fantasy points in week three last year. Wide receiver 11 and four, wide receiver 10 in week five. And I know it kind of tapered off from there because injuries and it just wasn't, you know, getting touchdowns. But I still think, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins leaving is 22% of target share available. Ertz is still coming off the ACL injury. And I know this team's going to be bad, but like you said, it could potentially lead to more passing opportunities. And we don't like the quarterback situation, but regardless, it's still an NFL team and they're going to be throwing the ball. So I like Marquise Brown at cost this year.
So we are looking at Kirk Cousins and Daniel Jones go back to back. So if Jared Goff is selected, I say we push QB another round.
Yep.
I think if we push QB another round, I mean, at this point, we're kind of almost pot committed to a triple tap of QB based on our build, which doesn't really scare me in best ball. I think we can make up for it. But I don't want to push somebody up basically if Goff already here is, I feel like we slightly lose a little bit of an edge. We have the fact that there's the stack with Amon-Ra St. Brown. It would have been nicer if we had the Jameson Williams in there and we could do it. But if he's gone, do you want to push a QB up? Or do you want to just take the best player available?
Do you recognize who you're talking to?
Listen, I've been in a draft, in a high stakes draft with Billy in another format that shall not be named, where we took, I believe our QB1 was
round 17,
Matt Ryan or something, yes. Because we had Michael Pittman and we wanted to develop that stack. And needless to say, that team did not finish in the money last year. So, I will say we. Okay, so Goff got went. I'm
behind. No, Goff made it, I said.
I'll
take him.
Okay, so let's take Goff. That's good. I'll take Goff.
Or do you want to live dangerously here, Theo? Do you want me to push you to the edge again?
No, I think we take Goff, and I can't believe I'm having to pound the table for Jared Goff in the ninth round. But I think like we're gonna have boom weeks with that Detroit offense, and we already have the correlation with Amon-Ra St. Brown. Let's just kind of lean into it.
Man, forget. I remember last year we were drafting. You guys should have seen Theo. Like, literal sweat coming down his forehead every time I said we're pushing quarterback each round. It was like he started the quarterback conversation in like round 9 or 10. We got to start thinking about quarterback. And I'm like, nah, we're not thinking about quarterback right now. And we just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. We get to like round 15 and Theo's panicking. We need a quarterback. I'm like, in due time, Theo.
Well, we called out Chad Schroeder.
Yes.
So if anybody's not listening, I'm sure we will have Chad on at some point this summer. But Chad's a friend of ours, and he's probably the best high stakes fantasy player to ever live. And we basically called him out, and we said we're going to take down Chad because Chad was in the draft with us, and that was not the correct move to make. But I do believe that particular draft, like when tonight is fine, because this is, you know, this is like sicko time of the year. This is April. But when you get to summer and you do live drafts, you know, Billy and I have had to do this many times over, you know, in the Goat District, this has happened many times where you do a live draft and there's somebody in your draft is listening in. Yeah,
trying to snipe you.
And you can't say like the players you're considering. It's a very difficult. So this year we will be quite guarded. We'll have to refer to like player 1, 2, and 3 in the queue. It will be It'll still be fun to listen to, but we're going to be a little more guarded this summer, Billy, and less like bravado.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Is that the draft that Chad took like an extreme amount of that position, or was that? Yeah, I think he took like four or five.
But there was like four drafters who boxed us out.
Yeah,
because they all took QB2 before we took QB1, and we didn't think any of them would do it. And it was like a super sharp draft too. There was like eight really good drafters in that draft, and they definitely boxed us out. Didn't let us have any of those quarterbacks. So I think our build was like Matt Ryan and Jameis Winston, and I think we picked up like Carson Wentz after week 1, waivers after he had a good week. It was disgusting.
Oh man, last year I think Chad did the same thing on another draft. I was pushing tight end to the max, and he ended up going like five straight tight ends to block us out.
I remember there was a couple of rounds, Billy, where Dak kept falling, and you're like, no, it's all good. Dak's gonna fall another round. No, it's all good. Let's let Dak's coming to us. Dak's coming to us. I'm like, Billy, just take Dak. Please take Dak. And we waited too long, and lesson learned. What are you gonna do?
We don't need Dak.
So we don't need it. We could have, dude, if we had Dak on that team last year down the stretch run, we could have made, you know, 10K plus, but what are you going to do? Yeah. So we see a run of tight ends, Greg Dulcich, Chigakonkwo, Cole Kmet, Tyler Higbee. This is fantastic for us, Billy, because
yes,
it's starting
to see it.
It's like a purple run and we are done. So there goes Jordan Addison. I really like that pick. This is the time that I like leaning into the rookies. I'm going to throw out Quentin Johnson and Zay Flowers, who are both available. And I think, Billy, both of these guys fill a structural need for us at wide receiver, and both of them will be first-round draft picks. We are higher on Zay Flowers at Player Profiler. He is our wide receiver 3. We've been working hard on the dynasty rankings, the rookie rankings. A shout-out to Cody Carpenter, who has put out a tremendous rookie guide. He had a number of guys.
Badass, man. It really is.
It's gorgeous to look at. We highly recommend it. I'm going to be referencing it for the next few weeks heading into our rookie drafts, but Cody crushed it. But I like diving into one of these rookie wide receivers here, Billy. This is a perfect range for it because it's round 10. I think it I'll defer to you. So I think Zay Flowers is the guy who I prefer. Quentin Johnson in a best ball format is very interesting because of his yak ability, his big play ability. So I'll kind of defer to you, but I'm kind of pounding the table to grab a rookie wide receiver here. And the fact that Jordan Addison went means those guys will not be there for us in the 11th round. So do you want to go with the smaller guy who might be have a better a weekly floor, or Quentin Johnson, potential big play, potential guy, deep threat? Zay Flowers can boogie though too. Don't get me wrong.
Honestly, we have 15 stacks. I'm also looking at running back just because we only have two. We got four solid receivers right now. I would either go Quentin Johnson
Listen, we can go Jamal Williams. I see him in the queue, and then we'll, you know, let's do it.
Okay. I like Jamal, and I know that he isn't the sexiest pick here, but potential Alvin Kamara suspension still looming, right? Going to have a fairly large role there. Probably going to be the goal line back again. There's a lot to like about, and I'm not saying he's not going to be a 1,000 rusher guy. Right? If that happens, I think it far exceeds my expectation or even my projections. But I do expect to see him heavily involved in the red zone. And if we do see a 4-6 game suspension for Alvin Kamara, I would potentially. I could see Jamal Williams going in like round 7 or even, you know, that Rashad White, Joe Mixon range. If once we get finalized news with Alvin Kamara. And so I always like in these early drafts to pick players who I expect or project to raise an ADP as the draft unfolds. And as we get more clarity at all the positions, and that suspension is people that are just, they're not thinking about it as much because it hasn't been in the news, but I do expect it to happen, Theo.
No, I love Jamal Williams, and that's a guy that we moved up in Dynasty because of this. I think that he had a pretty decent contract that was given to him. This is like, I think that for weeks and weeks, we kind of expected him to just to re-sign in Detroit and take kind of a team-friendly deal with the Rays, but he landed in a really, really good spot. And I think that even if Kamara avoids the big suspension, I think Jamal Williams is going to be part of the weekly game plan. And I think that in an offense that needs playmakers, I think that Jamal Williams is going to have a nice weekly floor in terms of touches that I think he's going to be very useful. You see Samaje Perine go. That's kind of a similar bet. I think he's another player that should rise up in these sort of rankings. You see another team one takes their first tight end. With Dalton Kincaid, a player who I'm very, very high on, but I think that's a tough bet to make him your tight end one. Landing spot unknown, although I do think he'll be a top 20 pick. Billy, your thoughts on kind of punting tight end to that point?
Not the tight end I would have picked. I'm fine punting it, but I probably would have taken like someone like Dawson Knox, who we know is going to see, 10, 11% of the target share, probably going to see anywhere from 6 to 8 touchdowns. That's all he does is score touchdowns there pretty much. I probably would have leaned that way just as if you're going to punt it this far, just go for the touchdown upside and then probably come back around again and take someone like a Juwan Johnson or Gesicki. I don't like taking Kincaid there as my only tight end.
So I have in the queue right now, there goes Zay Flowers. So that's gone. I think that if Derek Carr is here, I think we take him based on the structural build we have. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, he's in the queue. Tie him in with Olave, right? We got a Jamal Williams now. And so it makes sense. I have, he's number one in our queue right now. Hopefully he makes it. We got Kenneth Gainwell also, who I would get another running back in there. We're also to the point where we can start looking at receiver again.
I threw Jacoby Myers in the queue.
Good. I like
Myers. He's always a guy I like in this range. I think he's a little bit underrated in best ball because I think he'll have a weekly floor. I think that oftentimes in best ball, people get into the habit of, you see people taking the, it's a cliche alert, but the better in best ball guys, and they'll say, a better in best ball guy, that's like the MVS types. These guys are going to occasional spike week types. Let's take Carr and move
locked
on.
It.
But I think that a lot of times these guys with safe weekly floors, they are very, very, very good to have, and they can get you through slow weeks in best ball. Like you could have a couple of particular weeks where, guys might underperform, but you have enough guys, hitting in the back half of your draft in terms of giving you double digit points here, double digit points there, and you have a semi-productive week. So I think the better in best ball thing is kind of a misnomer often. I do think the one archetype that I think is better in best ball is that satellite back, because you don't have to worry about which weeks to play them in. You think about like the classic James White years where you don't have to worry about, hey, do I start him this week and maybe miss out on that sort of a 20-point week and have to, swallow the 8-point weeks. Where in best ball, you don't have to worry about that.
So question for you, this brings up it's a comfort level, right? And some people would look at our quarterbacks and say, Jared Goff and Derek Carr, I need three. Where does Theo stand on these two quarterbacks? You have Jared Goff on your team and Derek Carr. We have stacks on both of them. Do you feel the need to take three with these two, or where do you draw that line?
Well, I do think that the fact that we are a two tight end build gives us the flexibility to take a third quarterback. I think in these slim best ball formats, you don't need to be skinny at two of the positions. You can be skinny at one, and then you could take that third QB. Whereas if we were triple or quadruple tapping tight end, then that would be the one where I want to be, more apt to be safer at QB. But I do think like if the a triple or quadruple tap tight end build would have mean we probably leaned into an early QB. So they kind of are a two-way street, Billy. You cannot be perfect at every single position. In my opinion, you cannot be afraid of being, wide receiver. You cannot be afraid of accentuating a strength in best ball and being like excellent with your wide receivers, excellent with your running backs. Because when I think you start worrying too much about balance, that's when you take the edge off and you potentially lose some of your boom week potential at those important positions. Your thoughts on that?
I agree with it 100%. Oh, he made it. Yes, Kenneth Gainwell.
Okay, so that's fine. Kenneth Gainwell's a good one. I do like the two wide receivers you put in your queue.
I do like him.
But let's take Gainwell, because this is, we're actually structurally getting there with running back.
Yep.
Where I think we're good enough at running back that we might be able to live with a five running back build.
Yeah, I think so as well. We have three really solid receivers that allows us to push this one more round, I think.
Yeah, I still like having. Yeah, I agree with you on that. Like the wide receivers at the top are just fantastic, and Hollywood Brown is kind of like that, the icing on the cake, because we are going to have another high target share guy. So I like the way it's come together, but I do think that there's going to be a couple quarterbacks coming up, not necessarily next round, but a little further down the line, that can kind of make our build, even stronger.
Okay, I'm going to lock in Gainwell.
Yeah, let's lock him in. We both like Gainwell, and Gainwell in the 12th round is great. I think that you could make a case for him going higher. Because again, you don't have to worry about which weeks to play him in. He's in one of the league's best offenses. He's going to certainly have a role no matter what's going on at the running back position, whether it's, Rashad Penny, or even if they add another running back that we're not sure of. Kenneth Gainwell has a role. Nick Sirianni loves Kenneth Gainwell. I mean, Billy, how many coaches wear Kenneth Gainwell t-shirts? How do you even get a Kenneth Gainwell t-shirt?
Oh, that's a good question. I'd wear it. Would you wear it?
I would love to have a Kenneth Gainwell t-shirt. And shout out to anyone listening in who wants to send a Kenneth Gainwell t-shirt to Billy and I. If you know we're there for sale,
we'll rock us it know. Right now.
We'll rock it 100%. 100%.
We should get Kenneth Gainwell t-shirts when we go to the draft in 3 weeks.
I'm so excited to go.
3 weeks.
It's
3 weeks.
It's 3 weeks. It's 3 weeks away. 3 weeks from now, we will be sitting at the draft watching the first round.
That's right. Man, yeah. I'm so pumped for that.
I'm so excited too. It's a shout out to everybody at Player Profiler, but we're gonna have a big group heading down to Kansas City. We're all getting there on Wednesday or Thursday. I think everybody's gonna be there at the first round. I am gonna stay through day two, and then I'm heading back. I think you're staying for day three, Billy.
I'm back on. I think I leave on Sunday.
Leave on Sunday. So you're there for day three. I'm not gonna be there for day three, but I'm so stoked for it. And it's just going to be amazing. It's going to be a lot of fun to spend time with you guys. And also Kansas City's an awesome place, and just a chance that the energy of the draft, it's nothing like it. I cannot wait.
Theo, did I ever show you this picture that I found of us? Did I ever show you?
No,
this is us inside the draft.
my man Billy's got a time machine, because that is definitely us at the Player Profiler crib.
That's at the content house right there.
Big time. Are you in this scenario? Are you Will Ferrell or are you John C. Reilly?
Oh man. Oh, I think I have the Will Ferrell hair.
Yeah, I think you might be a little more Will Ferrell on that one. Okay, so we're coming up to OTC.
If this guy takes the guy in our queue, I'm gonna put my nutsack on his drum set.
I don't see anyone in the queue right now. Let me see here, Billy. Okay, I'll throw a Billy Muzio favorite into the queue.
Oh, please tell me it's Darnell Mooney or Palmer.
I put Palmer. That was okay. Palmer. Palmer was my suggestion. I think he'll be there for us.
Yeah.
You saw KJ Osborne go. You saw Rondale Moore. You saw Alec Pierce. I like all three of those guys in this range. So I think we'll be able to sneak Palmer in here. We're one away. If Palmer does not go, if Palmer is selected, I don't know which way we'd go. I don't necessarily love Mooney as much as Palmer, but I you could twist my arm into it.
Theo says you got to be careful. There is bunk beds at the mansion. I'm bringing my power tools. That's it.
No doubt, Cody. Okay, so we are here. I say we take our boy Josh Palmer.
Yeah, let me double check. This one's close in my mind. I want to double check my rankings and double check my
questions. Well, here's the devil's advocate is he could push back around to us if we let him go. But I don't know. I think that's...
I have him almost back-to-back, 52 and 54. Do you want to chance it? Take Mooney here and see if we can get him back?
That's fine. I will throw out... Yeah, that's fine. Let's take Mooney then. I think he will come back around, but I think I'll give it a 65% chance he comes back around.
Okay, I was going to go probably 45, but I'm going to risk it for the biscuit, where I put a 0% chance Mooney would come back around.
Yeah, Mooney would have, based on where he's been going, I think there was, you're right, 0% chance he comes back around.
Let's risk it for the biscuit, Theo. You know I'm a gambler.
100%. Cody, do you think we should take Jalen Hyatt here?
Cody's team would be like all rookies.
Yeah, that's it. But Cody's team would definitely not have Jalen Hyatt. Definitely not a Cody Carpenter favorite.
All right, so where we sit right now, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 wide receivers. We're at 4 running backs, 2 tight ends, 2 quarterbacks. Pretty balanced build here. We talked about the potential of adding a 3rd quarterback. Any potential stacks that are in the queue right now? You could add Jimmy Garoppolo and stack him with.
Well, I feel like that's one that.
No, we didn't go that direction. Never mind.
Yeah, and also, like, I don't love using the bridge quarterbacks in best ball because I feel like we think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to give you 8. Like, even if Las Vegas ends up with, like, Anthony Richardson, you say, oh, that's going to be 8 or 9 starts for Jimmy, and then they move to Richardson. But you know how these things are, Billy. If they start out 0-3, then the rookie's coming in there, and then you're sitting on a dead pick.
So what you're saying is we need to draft Brock Purdy because he's the GOAT. I get it.
Or you take, I like the idea of taking a guy that might be a beat up starter, like a Sam Howell or Desmond Ridder as a QB3 is a little more interesting to me because I think they have longevity and I think they could have some boom weeks in them. So we see a wide receiver run here, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Jalen Hyatt, and Sky Moore. But we are
the gamble is looking okay. It's looking all right. Is he going to make it, Theo?
The gamble's looking okay.
Theo's sweating bullets. He's sweating.
Not quite sweat level yet. I'm looking down to see if we have a pivot. I'll throw a couple more guys in the queue. Ooh, I throw one more, but I think he'll be there in the 15th round.
No, erase the one you put in there. Not drafting Devin Singletary. We have Pierce.
That's a good point. Yeah. So Hill and Shaheed are both in there as well for a little bit of New Orleans stack building.
Yeah, I like Shaheed. I would have liked him a lot more had Michael Thomas not stayed.
But Shaheed, again, will have a couple of weeks where he's really useful in best ball because he's a big time, a deep threat, and he's a big play potential guy. So
he's gone.
There's DJ Shark. There's Singletary.
Oh, Singletary went out for a cue. Hey, look, it made it. The gamble paid off. Let's go.
That's a great gamble. And Josh Palmer in the 14th round is just tremendous value.
There we go. It worked.
So we are still, I think we're still going to end up with one of these New Orleans guys in the following round.
I love when gambles like that pay off.
I mean, it's kind of like a hold your breath moment. And again, I think there's two situations in this draft where I like the Rashad White pick more than the Damian Pierce pick. And I like the Josh Palmer pick more than the Darnell Mooney pick. Just and we got him around later just because of the value for sure. So we're in pretty good shape here structurally. We need one more running back. And I don't think that's something we should wait till the last round for.
You know, what is this about this team, Theo? It's first class. It really is.
It's first class all the way. And we're going to have to get off the air here in 10 minutes. So I want to give a quick plug. Next week, we're going to have Mike Leone. This will be our 3rd guest ever on First Class Fantasy. And Mike Leone is from Establish the Run. Incredibly sharp guy. One of the sharper guys in fantasy football. And he's also a guy that competes against Billy and I in high stakes formats. I'm actually in a very, very high stakes dynasty league with Mike as well. But he's a big time drafter, a big time analyst, and he's going to be a great guy to talk shop with.
Yeah. Love Leone. Love drafting against them. He drafted against Dave and I last year inside the High Society League, which is a $10,000 buy-in league over here at the FFPC. FFPC has buy-ins ranging from $35 all the way up to $10,000. So there is a game for everybody per se. So make sure you draft with code Underworld and you get $25 off your first team. But yeah, he played against us in the 10K. We won, and he lost the final week, and it was the final spot for the playoffs going into the 10K. It was down to the wire. We had like one more victory point than he did for the final spot.
Yeah, and if you use our code Underworld, that 10K would only cost you $9,075 this year, Billy. So
$9,975.
Excuse my math, guys. But it definitely that every $25 counts, especially when you're in Las Vegas drafting against Billy, where $25 seems to just fall off you in Vegas in about, you know, maybe five steps. There might not be too many $25 minimum tables in Vegas at this time, Billy. I think they were first class fantasy. We're walking by. We're looking for like a $50 minimum table, huh?
Hold up. I think we got Cody. Cody jumped in real quick. Let's get him onto the show real quick.
Get him in.
What's up, Cody? Never mind. False alarm.
Oh, false alarm is right. I'm gonna throw one more wide receiver in the queue. I threw out Josh Downs, another rookie. And then in terms of running backs, I think we really should look for one.
Yeah, looks like we got about two more picks. And then we have, like you said earlier, Trade Gods is coming up with the Podfather guesting on that starting here at 9 o'clock Eastern. So we'll probably get this last pick in. We'll say goodbye to everybody. We'll show the board and then we'll finish up. We'll post the board to social media as well in YouTube. But we are on the clock. We have 38 seconds. I kind of like Rashid Shaheed right here. I do like Downs. We don't need another tight end, but
I say we forget tight end.
Yeah.
And I think we focus on one of these wide receivers. I think that Josh Downs though, Billy, I think he will be a second round draft pick. Cody has him as wide receiver 5 or 6 overall.
Downs or Beckham, we can go upside too. I'll leave it up to you.
I'd like to take Josh Downs here.
Done.
Shout out to our boy, Bradley Stalder. That's also a huge Bradley pick. He takes Josh Downs every single best ball draft. So hat tip to him there. But I think the 15th round is good for Downs. I think you can make a case for him going a little bit higher. So we are coming up back around, Billy. Running back is a little choppy here. I don't think that's the position that I don't think we want to wait and take our next running back in like the 20th round. I think we should start thinking about one. The unattached players are kind of interesting here. Like Kareem Hunt here in the 16th round, even though he doesn't have a team, if he signs with anyone, he's moving up 4 rounds.
Absolutely.
If he signs with a good situation, he's moving up 8 rounds.
What would be the team that he signs? He moves up 8 rounds. Can you think of any? Maybe the Bengals.
I would also think that a situation where you could talk yourself into him beating out the current starter would also kind of be appealing. Like, I think that if he ends up in Atlanta and we have Arthur Smith getting up and saying like, it's a competition between Kareem Hunt and Tyler Algier. Like, I think that would be interesting, even though it would probably be like a committee. I think a run heavy team like that. I think him being a handcuff to a running back that maybe we have some slight health concerns for would also kind of bump him up. You bring up Cincinnati, that would be great. But there's a number of teams out there that could use a player like Kareem Hunt, even though I do think he lost something last year. I don't think he was quite as good. He's not going to go away. The guy's, you know, he could very much be an injury replacement signing, over the summer if he makes it there. I think the chances of him not being on an NFL team for week one of the season, I think the percentages are quite low.
I agree with that statement. Yeah. And I think a lot of his maybe inefficiencies last year were also due to attitude, right? Not wanting to be with the Browns and getting hurt into a contract year. So I'd like to give him the benefit of the doubt and think that was part of it as well. We shall find out here pretty soon in 2023. Looks like we get to make one more pick on the clock as it comes back around. And then we'll say goodbye to everyone. Like I said, we'll post the board in the chat. It was in there earlier. I'll reshare it here so you can follow along because we'll continue to draft. And then we will also post the board to Twitter. So make sure that you're following Theo. Make sure you're following myself. And we will get that board posted here once the draft is complete. You can also find it inside of the YouTube comments. And we'll make sure that you can have access to that board throughout the remainder of the draft.
I threw Cordarrelle Patterson into the queue as well, who's still in Atlanta, who's still not going to completely disappear no matter what they do, because I think that that's a player that they love the versatility of. And again, we only need him to have a couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. We're just filling that last spot now. Kareem Hunt just went.
Yeah, I kind of would lean towards Patterson here, unless you want to throw another running back into the discussion.
No, the only other person I would consider here would either be Rashid Shaheed or Isaiah Hodgins, honestly, and going against the running back position. Hodgins probably going to be the outside Darren Waller, going to be the number one target at the receiver position for this offense, I think.
Well, I think that what would be interesting is if we went Shaheed, we could double tap running back. Like we could kind of be pot committed to two running backs.
And Rashid goes with the stack. We have Olave, we have Jamal Williams, and we have Derek Carr.
You could always go with your Boston Scott in the 20th round running back selection too, Billy, to have another exposure to Philly. He re-signed. He always seems to have those two like weird, how the hell did Boston Scott fall in the end zone twice games of every year. We could lean into that. So I'm kind of open here. I like Patterson. I don't mind Shaheed. And then I'll throw out the fact that Desmond Ridder is here as well as our another QB. Because you're starting to see Desmond Ridder.
Who?
Desmond Ridder.
Who? That's it. We're picking Rashid Shaheed.
Okay, go Shaheed. That's fine.
All right, everybody. Tune in. Next up on the Player Profiler Podcast Network is the Trade Gods Live with the Podfather. I am your co-host, Billy Musio. Can't even say my own name, Theo. I am your co-host, Billy Musio. And this is my co-host, Theo. We are out. Have a good night. Take care.
Be sure to subscribe and activate those alerts so you get notified as soon as new videos drop. And be sure to check out playerprofiler.com. We have all the tools for you to dominate every type of fantasy league. We have a draft kit, Dynasty Deluxe, Data Analysis, DFS Dominator, and don't forget the player rankings to rule them all.